Cool. Well, hey, welcome to the Holy Things Vodcast. This is Adam Stattmiller, and I have a special guest today. Very excited to have Brian Harden here from the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks.
Good to have you at La Jolla Christian Fellowship in a little 90-year-old church here, which for us in San Diego, that's like 1,000, 2,000 years in England. So.
Yeah, I love it here. Thanks for having me. Great to be here with everyone.
Yeah.
Excited for our talk.
Yeah, you scored the weather today.
Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous here in California. Those of you who aren't here,
yeah, get here soon. Get here soon. We're waiting for you. And you went In-N-Out Burger.
We did.
how do you go animal style? Now you know about the animal style, right?
No, I don't know animal style.
Really? Well, you got to go back.
I was trying to just do it once.
Like, yeah, well, you're not
the family, and
you're not a burger guy.
Not so much, but what is animal style?
Well, animal style is, there was a, supposedly back in the day when it started, there was this group of kids and they had this little gang, kids gang, called the Animals. And so they wanted extra spread, they wanted mustard grilled onto the bun, they wanted, is it extra pickle, and one other deal. But it is the animal style, and so that, it's just extra gooey.
Okay, so it's not on the menu, but if you
not on the menu, there's a lot of secret items.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, secret items. So that's now they do animal style fries as well, and you don't want to go there.
Okay,
that's going to hurt you. You do animal style fries as well. Hey, nonetheless, Brian is here, and if you don't know Brian or haven't heard of the Daily Audio Bible, I got turned on to it in Palm Desert at a men's conference. I was rooming with a guy, started listening to this guy on the on his phone read the Bible. And it's funny because a couple years earlier, I had a friend had lunch with me, and he said to me, hey, man, you've got to get into this thing. It's called the Daily Audio Bible, and this guy reads the Bible every day. And I'm like, yeah, it's just another thing. You know, it's just the amount of things that we get given. And I'm sure they're great things, but every so often one sticks. But it was a couple years later, met with in this room, and he starts listening to it. So I listened to it, I think, three nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That was 6 years ago. I think I've probably only, if you had to add it all up, I've probably missed 3 months in six years.
Wow.
It's become a, yeah, I'm pretty rad.
Yeah.
I'm pretty legalistic.
That's great.
No, it just becomes part of your life. And especially during some very difficult seasons, it has been there. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, the amount of time, now it's God's word, obviously, but you're presenting it in a way, and I'm an audio learner, so that works for me. My wife listens to it too. She's usually not an audio learner, but it works for her as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of times I've had a difficult decision to make, and in the evening, I'm a night listener, so I do that 30-minute timer. If I make it halfway through the Psalms, it's a good day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a good day. So, but on occasion I make it through. But the amount of times God has just given me a word, and I've made decisions for this church, decisions for my life, decisions for relationships, based on that reading it's innumerable.
Yeah.
The amount of times that's happened. Tell us a little bit about the Daily Audio Bible, just where it is today, how long it's been going, just some of your, your bullet point stats on it, or facts, or what it is.
Yeah. Well, Daily Audio Bible started January 1st, 2006. So we're about to finish 12 consecutive years. So 7 days a week, broadcasting the spoken scriptures every single day from all kinds of places in the world and all kinds of circumstances. But we've managed to do it. And it has become a community. We kind of call it the global campfire.
Yep.
I'm not sure why I just said that one day, and it stuck.
Became part of the lexicon.
Yeah, it's a community, and I think that's the magic to the Daily Audio Bible, is that it's something that's happening. It's read fresh every day. It's happening now, and we know that we're not alone in it. We get to hear from each other, and so just various communities around the world have grown up around it, and all kinds of social media groups have grown up around it, and people just go through the word. So we have about 250,000 people a day listening in, and
that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, but it's just, you know, it's changed my life as much as it's changed anyone else's life.
Yeah.
And like you, I can't really imagine that not being a part of the rhythm of my life.
Right.
But the thing is, other than the microphone piece, I'm not sure that what we're doing is something that any believer isn't supposed to be doing, you know?
Yeah. You're just doing it in community.
Yeah. and just speaking it, you know, but being in the scriptures every day, that has radically transformed my life. Like, I don't look at anything the way that I did 12 years ago. And I mean, I guess that's just time and maturity, but every single day in the Bible for 12 years has changed the way I look at everything.
Wow. What would you, are you aware of what the values are? Do you have an understanding of what your core values are? And could you speak them for the Daily Audio Bible? What are those? Because I know community would be one of your values.
Yeah, it would be to bring God's spoken word to whoever will listen anywhere on this planet, right, any time of day or night, and to continue to foster community around that so that we understand that we're the body,
right,
that no one is alone. Those really are the core values. That's really the thing that we're trying to do. So all the other things that we may do around that all have to funnel back to that core thing. So, I mean, having this kind of an audience, people want access to it all of the time.
I know. Well, you okay, the sacredness, I would say, was one of your values. If you don't know your values, I'm going to tell you what they are.
All right. Right here, folks.
Because I'm really into value-driven life, and like at our church, one of the things we try not to do often is set goals, because we believe that, you know, Ephesians 3:20, he will, if you live according to your values and do it right, he'll exceed any value that I could ever hope, dream, or imagine. Mm-hmm. And so goals, we would never, the things that have happened here at this church, I never would have set those goals.
Yeah.
Because it's been too elaborate, too audacious, it would have been too big, too scary. But so we haven't set goals, but yet we've exceeded anything that we probably ever would have set.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about that, and you're talking about the people that want to have a slice of your audience for commercial purposes or whatever, the sacredness of the content, I would say sacricity, mm-hmm, and the Catholic word for a place where the holy things are kept, you've kept it really holy. I would say holiness is a value I see. These are just, because when I see organizations or I meet people and things, I try to think, okay, because the values are what you actually do. A value is not something that you say. A said value is not a value. It's a done, it has to be done, or it's not a value. It's just a nice, happy thought. But the sacredness of that,
mm-hmm,
and it's so low hype, which I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. Even when you have something to promote, like your own book or whatever, mm-hmm, like that doesn't happen till the end. And a lot of people, I mean, it's really bad marketing. A lot of people, I'm asleep by the time you talk about that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Talk a little bit about the sacricity of it and the sacredness of it and that value, perhaps.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I would call it a value other than that it's a North Star in my own life. I mean, I come from the music industry where I have watched things marketed in every conceivable way possible. So,
plastic rabbit.
Absolutely. And I knew when the Daily Audio Bible started. And first of all, it didn't start with the idea that I was going to leave the music industry and become a minister.
Right.
Like, that was the last thing I was planning to do. But this thing just kind of exploded and blew up. And so I knew pretty quickly that the second I spin this and try to cash in on it, it's going to go away. Because whatever is happening here is something that God's touching. Like, this isn't something I'm equipped for. This isn't something, you know, like being this front guy, I'm an introverted person by nature. And so kind of prefer to be on the sidelines, and so being thrust into this, I knew, like, this is like a one in a million thing. Like, and I remember talking to a pastor friend up in Los Angeles several years ago, and he was like, you have to pour everything you've got into this. This is a one in a billion thing. And I've given my life to it, but not with the intention of selling things to people.
Right.
You know, not to make it an add-on kind of potpourri of products and stuff. We do things, but what we do is create products and events for the community. It's just like any other church would do.
But they're the Word of God is the star.
Right, no doubt about it.
And one of the things that, you know, we say here at La Jolla Christian Fellowship is the stage is not the star. And I feel like it's easy to see us market the stage,
mm-hmm,
the speaker.
Right.
There's certain people you will never see on stages. A certain, you know, they're not as eloquent as you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, granted, sometimes you know, certain people I think need to have an option or an opportunity to be on stage so we can show them that everybody doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
You know, and so we market the teaching, we market the worship leaders. And so I've really liked that for us, the Jesus in the congregant is the star of this church. Jesus, right. The mission of the congregation. And what I love hearing, what I love hearing about when I bring it back to the Daily Audio Bible, is people talk about the community more than they talk about Brian.
Right.
And, you know, and I go out and people say, oh, I've heard about your church.
Mm-hmm.
And they start, and I don't know if you experience this, but they start Absolutely. Talking about the community more than the personality behind right. or within the community. Because, you know, at some point, you're going to be, someone else is going to be reading this, mm-hmm. I hope, you know. And, yeah. and so the community has to be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's really powerful. And that you let the Word of God be the star, which I really, really love, and a real sense of sacredness with that. So reading the Bible, God's laid this idea of sneezing Jesus on intriguing mm-hmm. title, provocative title. And your first book was called Reframe. And one of the analogies, it really impacted me. And to think about, you know, it's one thing we see in culture today is this kind of hipster idea of taking old things, making them new.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I've been speaking recently, I've been talking about, hey, you know, sometimes we need to rip down that old barn wood,
mm-hmm.
But it's good wood,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to throw everything away. There's a sense sometimes of wanting to throw everything away, but no, let's refurbish it, let's reuse it, and some of the most beautiful things now are that reframed,
of course,
that
yeah.
reframed wood. So, how did Reframe get you to sneezing Jesus? And the idea behind sneezing Jesus is contagious, and almost. Plague wouldn't be the right word, but it's almost plague-like. It's, you know.
Infectious.
Infectious, yeah, is the right word. How did you get from one to the next? Or where did the idea of sneezing, where was the impetus? One day you're sitting there and it's like, sneezing Jesus.
Well, Reframe was an effort to define with words what a relationship with God is. Because, I've grown up in the church. I grew up as a pastor's kid. And, you know. Having a relationship with God was ubiquitous with being saved, like just coming to faith. You just got a relationship with God. But I wanted to know, what are we talking about when we say we're in a relationship with God? So once that was done, the question became, if I have a relationship with God, then who is this that we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And that led to Sneezing Jesus because... And I mean, Sneezing Jesus is a disruptive title on purpose.
Right.
It's like two words that shouldn't maybe possibly go together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Maybe, ooh, I'm not sure. Like, what are we talking yeah. about? But probably no more disruptive than human God.
Right, right, right.
Okay,
right.
And that's where yeah. I was in the first place going, like, who is this that I'm in a relationship with? It wasn't like I'm trying to find Jesus for the first time, but it was like, you know, as we're both writers, so it's like, how do I say this in
right.
a way that's compelling and real? And that's what kept bubbling up. Jesus is the human God. Well, that's pretty disruptive in and of itself because,
yeah.
but it's true.
Yeah.
That is what he is.
Right.
He is fully God, fully man, the human God.
But then a lot of people want a Gnostic God.
Maybe they do.
Yeah.
But if we're sticking to the Gospels and we're sticking to the New Testament, then Jesus,
right.
you know, Gnostic or not, like human God is what the scriptures portray Jesus to be.
Right.
And so, you know, I began thinking of, you know, what human word can I put in front of Jesus
yeah.
that would not only be human, but would identify what happens and what's supposed to happen in the transformation and knowing Jesus. So that's kind of where Sneezing Jesus came from. You mentioned infectious or plague.
Yeah.
and I thought about all of those words too, because what I was trying to dig into was the humanity of Jesus
right.
and what it's saying about our own humanity
right.
and then what we're supposed to do with that. And so if we think about how plague or epidemic or any of these things spread, if we look at how darkness spreads, then we would also have to say that the kingdom of heaven that Jesus referred to also spreads.
Right.
Because what it brings about is a state of being that humanity was created for in the first place. And that is infectious.
Right.
light, life, and good news. So at the end of the day, sneezing is the word that kind of went in front of Jesus.
Right.
And how we got sneezing Jesus.
Well, how do you measure the quality of your infectiousness? I guess that's, you know, that's not a great way to say it, but you know, how infectious your faith is. Does that make sense? Like, because for me, I regularly have people say, hey, I want to meet with you. But sometimes I wonder if that's, you know, just because I'm a pastor.
Right.
But actually people outside, people I coach my daughter's soccer team, they'll say, hey, can we hang out? And maybe it's because, and I try to keep my clerical position separate and kind of hidden. You know, mm-hmm. people ask me what I do. I say I'm in leadership.
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of leadership do you, you know what I mean? So they always try to kind of get there. But I think when people are asking me, and they're asking, you know, that's one way. And I see people that are out, they're very different from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, liberal, agnostic, atheist, gay. I get regularly people in my life who know I'm, but they know I'm a pastor. And mm-hmm. and I, for me, that feels like, okay, well, the fact that they want to build that bridge and ask me for a conversation, what are some of the ways, I mean, that we know? So we're, because we need to be infectious, right?
Yes, but I don't think there's a way to put that in a spreadsheet. And I don't think there's a way to you sort of make measurable goals about how infectious you're going to be, per se. I think, you know, if we – the interesting thing, Adam, is that I've done a lot of interviews about sneezing Jesus, and I found in every single one of them, there are no short answers to any of this. But to answer this question in as short of a way as I can, I would say that when we look into the book of Genesis at Adam and Eve, before Genesis chapter 3, not to get all theological, we see what humanity was supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
what it was intended to be. The next time we get a glimpse of that is Jesus. Jesus was the first sinless person to walk on the planet right. since Adam and Eve sinned. Okay? So, and we have way more material about Jesus' life than we ever did about Adam and Eve's life. So we have this comprehensive look at a human being as they were supposed to be in this world.
Hmm.
And that's what Christ-like is. So Christ-like is not this aspiration or inspirational thing. It's actually becoming like that. And so the argument in sneezing Jesus is that to become Christ-like is to become truly human.
Right.
As opposed to waiting and enduring and trying to, you know, somehow be at war with our own humanity until we can finally get out of here.
Right.
There's something far greater going on, what Paul would call new creatures.
Right.
The old has passed, the new has come, like new creatures. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now within you. So that would be kind of looking like Jesus, the right. human and the divine in collaboration, intertwined, moving through this world. Right. That's what the gospel tells us is offered.
Right.
That's what we get. So we have this opportunity to move continually toward wholeness, toward the way that we were meant to be all along. So if we have 2 billion, there are 2 billion people that confess Christ in this world. If we mm-hmm. had 2 billion Jesuses in this world.
Powerful.
Things would be radically different rapidly. And so the whole idea of what is the weight of my life? Like, how do I know if I'm sneezing Jesus, or how do I know if I'm infectious? I mean, everywhere we go, we're supposed to bring light and good news in thought, word, and deed. So it's not something we can go like, you know, tick, tick, tick. It's everything from the everything. Everything through the process of sanctification is making us more and more like Christ. And what I'm arguing is that that's not only a spiritual reality, that's a human reality.
It reminds me of what Lewis says in, you know, Till We Have Faces, mm-hmm. That idea of like you're not going to be truly human until we're actually with Christ in yeah. heaven. We're moving towards true humanity.
Right.
But you know, it's like we're faceless, but you know, and when God is revealed and we're revealed to him, we'll be truly human until we have faces. So that's powerful. So it's the idea of cause a lot of people want to move away from the humanity. They want to move into an ethereal,
sure.
an ethereal spiritual right. place, and be less human. And I think one of the ways, I think there are some measurables though, to, you can know that you see the Spirit of God moving. Because we identifiable things that are happening where you see the kingdom of God. The crossroads where we're harvesting from heaven and we're taking what we scoop out of heaven and we put them at our feet in our soccer practice game or when we go to the dry cleaner or whatever. That's where the crossroads are, where the kingdom of God meets earth. And so the awareness of that we're doing that or how we're doing it. But you're right, it doesn't come out into a spreadsheet for sure.
Yeah, so I'm not saying you can't see the effects of it. We should every single day see the effects of it. But it's hard to see the effects of it and then try to put that in Excel.
Well, five points. 5 points to sneeze Jesus.
Well, I'm saying that I think that that's kind of missing, if that's the goal, how good am I doing? Then it's not just information. It's kind of moving ourselves into how can I earn my way towards something?
Or control it.
And that can't happen. It's uncontrollable. We're talking about the Spirit of the living God.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I think we can see the effects of it, should see the effects of it, must see the effects of it, and must feel the effects of it. But when we turn that into data, then I think it's a little bit more problematic.
One of the things I like about a sneeze, because I was thinking a lot about it, is they're very difficult to control. Mm-hmm. They rush upon you. I like when you're living with the Spirit, oftentimes He will bring thoughts, ideas.
For sure.
You know, that'll just come there. And then and then the power, if you ever listen, the power of a sneeze. Mm-hmm. I did some researching when I was writing the little blurb for the book, but about sneeze. I just wanted to get myself in that mindset. Mm-hmm. So I started looking at sneezing and the whole thing. But the force and the speed. Somebody said, whether it's true or not, you can Google it right now and know, but it was like 120 to 140 miles an hour a sneeze when you sneeze. And that's like hurricane force, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
140 to one, is it 140 to 170? It's like category four hurricane.
Right.
So it's some really interesting, it's really interesting, especially with the creative nature of God, when these hurricanes were happening, actually, right. I was really in awe. It really put me on my knees. I mean, praying for the people, there was a whole compassionate, praying for people's safety, there was that. But when I saw the pictures of it, when I saw when it was just scooping all the power out, all the water out of the ocean and things like that, it actually made me worship. And Romans 1:20, talks about, his divine qualities. We can see his qualities, his invisible nature in these things. But I love how in us, he puts the power of a hurricane in a sneeze.
Right.
It's just like God to say, I'm going to, you would never think that. Could you, if you ask somebody, could you ever have the power of a hurricane? You'd say no.
Mm-hmm.
But God Himself puts it in a sneeze and just hides it there.
Right.
He just hides it. He's creative and amazing. So, what was your favorite part about the book?
I think my favorite part of the book, in terms of writing, would be the chapter on loving your neighbor as yourself. Because it's a look at a time that I got stuck. Actually, it was here in California, stuck in the Mojave Desert, and I like how that reads. I've been asked that question a bunch of times.
No one asks. I keep asking questions everybody asks. My whole point is just to be so innovative and creative. I never thought about that. Great question.
No one's asked it like you. No one.
Thank you.
No one.
Thank you.
I'm having a hard time answering that question because each of the chapters in Sneezing Jesus are meant to sort of stand alone.
Right.
And the book is moving through the theme of the humanity of Jesus, and they are connected, and there's an arc in the narrative. But the chapters can stand on their own, and they're different aspects of just trying to get into the backstory of what was going on in Jesus' life and in Jesus' time and why he was doing the things that he was doing. And so I have a hard time picking a favorite because it's the collective whole that gives me the picture of Jesus. And so it's like...
Well, you're very holistic. I mean, whenever I talk to you, and it comes back to rhythm, it comes back to holistic living. I mean, that's very Celtic. That's, letting things be organic, not having to have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, that I've told people you know, you don't have to understand everything you believe, you know, then we don't have faith, right. You know, or you don't have to like everything you believe.
Right.
A lot of people haven't had the permission to not like what they believe. Like, God, I believe this, but I don't like this. I don't like that there's this rule or law about whatever it would be. So I love that. And I would say that was one of the values of the, there's a lot of freedom in the scripture. Jesus has set us free so that we can go live and be free.
Right.
And I love that that feels like one of the values, that freedom really comes across in the Daily Audio Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward now, as we kind of close up shop, circle the tower on this little time together, mm-hmm. going forward, what does, is there a vision now? Okay, I got it. What happened to the whole, like, let's read the Bible together thing?
Yeah, that's still being built.
Okay, but you must have hit some glitches with that.
We hit some glitches because we're inventing technology that hasn't been used in the way that it's being used.
So it's one person, different person reading a scripture, the whole Bible, the community reading it, right? Is that?
Yeah, so what he's talking about is something we call the Global Bible Read.
Yes.
And it's an initiative that we've been working on for almost 4 years now with the idea that we can capture... there's about 30, there's 36,000 and some change verses in the Bible.
Mm.
And we believe we can get 36,000 plus people to read a verse,
right.
And have each verse be read by somebody else at a different place in the world.
Yeah.
And that we can actually get many times over so that you could never really experience it the same.
Right. I sent in the worst quality verse ever. It was so bad.
No, it was all testing. So about a year and a half ago, we did a pretty major beta test to just test. It was sort of the theories
yeah.
behind what we had built and learned a lot of things and really had to kind of scrap what we were doing and move toward app only. Like the handheld devices are so much better than the craziness on the laptops
right.
around the world. So, but we had to kind of push pause because we're in the middle of also a very, very major app revision for the Daily Audio Bible itself.
Okay.
So we basically just got backed up. But that's okay. still going to happen.
Okay.
There's no doubt about it.
So going forward then, I have a lot more questions I want to ask about that. But going forward, what's the trajectory? Is it just you're living in the moment and just doing it? Or is it, you know... How far have you gone down the road of what you think, and what are we trying to? What has God called you to, rather than what has He called you to accomplish? Because I don't know if that'll ever be done. What's ahead?
I mean, I think that the rhythm that is established in the Daily Audio Bible is the rhythm that will continue to exist, and I think the way that we do the things that we do will continue to exist. So it's not like okay. Here's our 5-year plan.
Right.
I have specifically not done that.
Yeah.
Like intentionally.
I don't do that either.
There are some situations where we have to do a 1-year plan. Like we know some things are coming, so we have to map out how that's going to go. But for the most part, we try to stay loose. And
that's really interesting.
As yeah. honest is probably poor managerially as that might sound from a corporate perspective. You know, 17 years ago, a pastor said, "It's like you're flying and trying to figure out how to put the wings on."
Yeah.
Because that's how the Daily Audio Bible happened. It just kind of, it came out of nowhere and became something unexpectedly. And I've tried to stay in that, and it's given me so much comfort and peace to realize somehow this has continued for 12 years.
Right.
Somehow we've been innovative. Somehow we've been able to be innovative. And so when inspiration strikes, we then can move and develop and create and do something. But when it's not, then we wait. And that's okay. I've actually realized, okay, it's not about how do we increase by 10% next year. It's not about,
right.
how do we follow these trends in margin. That's not what we're doing here. We're trying to be led. In swept into a story and be a part of the dance. And so there's no way to say, here's what's coming.
You articulated exactly what has been in my heart for leadership here. Like, mm-hmm. We don't set goals. We, like I said a moment ago, we're in a rhythm. God, we're moving on the fly. A lot of people will struggle with that. You're high management. It's like you're being lazy.
Right. It's anything but that, though, right? It's anything but that.
Oh, absolutely. And
it's very intentional.
Yeah, it's interesting. And we just, I just feel like if you live your values, mm-hmm. and so we're big on understanding our core values. If you live your values, you'll know when you're violating them, mm-hmm. which is really helpful. So when I have a conversation with a staff member, or if I do something, I can go and say, hey, I violated the values there, mm-hmm. of whatever it would be. But I found that we keep breaking barriers we never would have thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's restful and it's peaceful, but it's active, if that makes sense. We have activity, but it isn't like you meet the goals and then it's like you can go rest and play golf.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I would love to see a sales team of in a business say, the numbers on the board, we're erasing the numbers and we're putting tenacity, we're putting passion, loving community. Like, what if salespeople began to have their whole sales thing be about the values and I bet they would just blow it out of the water. You know,
you would think, and I think it would sort of self maintain and self weed.
Yeah,
you know,
it does weed itself.
Yeah,
yeah, because we one of the things I'll do is I intentionally will play. Secular music, like value-based secular music. So there's certain secular music I would never play in the church. I just don't think it belongs here. But there's other stuff that really, really does. And so often people will come and they'll be like, I just can't go to your church, because you secular music. And it's actually there as a filter,
mm-hmm.
because it's the value of, like, there's broken people, there's a bridge to the world. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Totally.
But sometimes the values work is a really big filter. So. Mm-hmm. You've got, what's going on with Sneeze and Jesus now? You've got a book tour, you're kind of a relational tour. It's more than a book tour.
For sure. So
going overseas and
we will be going overseas. So, for the rest of this year and then into next year, we will be, traveling around sharing the Sneezing Jesus message. And it's, for me, the travel is about seeing the community.
Right. Hugging each other's necks.
Hugging each other's necks.
My daughter hates when I say that. I say it all the time. She hates it. She's like, Dad, don't say that anymore.
Come here,
like,
hug my neck. Yeah.
Come here.
It's a Southern thing. Just being out and in the community, it gives me an opportunity and a reason to be out and about in the community.
Get out from behind the mic.
Yeah.
The introverts love being in the cave behind your
mic.
Love
it. Love it, yeah. But I love this too, you know. And so I love the changing seasons. Every time something new that invites us to travel, it kind of changes our flow of life for a year. And then, but as any other, really, what I'm doing is no different than the musicians who live in Nashville, where I live.
Right.
You know, kind of going out and then coming back and holding up and praying and intentionally creating something else.
Yeah.
And then going out and coming back. So I like that rhythm.
Well, great. Hey, my last question, how's your ankle?
My ankle. So I
broke your ankle.
So it's right here.
How is that thing?
Let's see if we can do it's good. It happened in 2014. I smashed my foot in a bad car accident. And so it took the better part of a year to really be able to walk again.
Yeah.
So was I kind of limping and stuff last time I was out here?
No, you were pretty solid. You had just gotten over the hump.
But previous to that, I've been running and walking and still haven't quite got back to running yet, but I have definitely got back to, being able to put in 5 miles a day. And that would not have been, even the last time I was out here.
You're walking or running 5 miles a day?
Walking.
Oh, that's great.
I haven't got quite back to the, it's like I got a new foot.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
And so it's even still. Which is ironic because it's been so many years, but it's getting better and better.
I remember it's funny how you know where you are, like when certain things happen.
Yeah.
I was driving down Casadero Drive by my old house and Jill came on. I was
why is Jill on? Yeah.
And you'd been in the car accident and then there was fires going on here in San Diego.
Oh,
so
wow.
A little bit of a non sequitur. I'll just ask you one more. Now you're going to say the whole Bible, but I'm not going to let you, I'm not going to let you say that. You hear this all the time and I'm sure people have asked this question all the time. Give me a top three books, your favorite books to read out of the Daily Audio Bible. And let me just say quickly, Job has become one of my favorite books. I love Job. Isaiah, struggling with it. I turned him off the other night. The guy's depressing.
Well, half depressing.
It was. I was just in a bad way. I was like, I'm going to the global campfire. I had a hard day, and then he's spitting venom in my face.
He is, and Isaiah can be a bit of a
curmudgeon.
Because it's all these oracles, right? And they're like one after the other, but you really do have to pay attention to who he's talking to,
right?
Or he will be talking to somebody else about something totally different. Until we get about halfway through, maybe chapter 43.
He was talking to the devil the other night.
Yes, but then it turns.
And then it changed.
It's beautiful. But I, you know what?
Give me three books.
Okay, so here's the deal. You're right. I could say the whole Bible because I think every year that's a different answer for me.
Okay.
This year, I have really enjoyed the book of Ecclesiastes.
Oh, man. I'm preaching on it right now.
Yeah.
3 weeks on contentment, Ecclesiastes. I love it. Oh, man. Talk about Ecclesiastes.
I mean, just, you know, so the way it works in the Daily Reader Bible is Job and Ecclesiastes follow each other because Psalms and Proverbs are a daily thing, and they fit between the two. So I actually enjoy that part of the year. It's moving into a new season of year, and it's like, yeah, this is the right time to be thinking these thoughts. But just understanding, I explained this on the Daily Reader Bible. A few years ago, I had heard a philosopher talk about apophatic and cataphatic ways of looking at things. And so a cataphatic way of looking at something is to affirm what it is, and an apophatic way of looking at something is to say what something is not in order to describe what it is.
Ontological.
So when I read the book of Ecclesiastes, it's like, you know, the contrast to that would be the book of Proverbs. These came largely from the same person. And we could say the book of Proverbs has so many affirmations of what wisdom is. And then we get this guy at the end of his life, almost, you know, apophatically, almost in a negative way, saying, here's what it's not.
Right.
Because I've done everything.
Yeah.
Here's what it's not. And I've just really appreciated that a lot this year. Romans this year was
love
a big
Romans.
Deal for me.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of coming out of sneezing Jesus and having spent so much time in that material, Romans kind of hit me new this year. And I don't even know what the third one would be because I think it has yet to come, you know.
Okay.
But every year, if I had to say these are my top three, they would probably be different because the Bible is alive. You know, and how your life is going and how God is speaking, it changes. That's what's the beautiful thing about staying in the rhythm of the Bible is that even though you come through the territory again in a year or however often that you read, you're in a different place, and the scriptures speak differently, and I love that.
Man, that's rich. Hey, it's Brian, you're going to be at church tomorrow talking about sneezing Jesus. Excited for that. Thanks for coming, bro.
Oh.
Love you.
Always.
Awesome.
Love you too.
You know, there's only, I say this as a joke. I have you on the phone. I say, you're the only man I let in my bed with me, bro.
Yes. I have so many of those stories. I take a shower with you every day.
Well, thanks so much. All right. Well, we love you. Congrats
thanks.
On everything that's happening
Thank
and
you.
The new book and everything.
Thank
and
you.
We'll talk to you soon.